a lot of work at different places, and I had to learn that if I was going to be a teacher, that I was going to have to step out of my comfort zone. I could sit behind a desk or stand behind something and talk all day long and not be nervous and not be worried. But when I had to step out in front of a large group of children, especially high school age, you high schoolers who are here now, you may not want to admit it, but you all can be somewhat intimidating to a teacher. Even those teachers who have been doing it for a long period of time, because when you have all of these eyes staring back at us, and you know they're judging you, they're looking at what you got on, they're wanting to make fun of you, they're waiting for you to say the wrong word, not speak proper enough. So they're waiting to just pounce on any and every mistake that you make. But you may not realize this, but even elementary kids are just as bad. And so I thought, oh, if I can handle high school kids, these elementary kids will be nothing. Well, I was mistaken. They were actually a little more brutal than the high school kids. And so over a period of time, I began to become more and more comfortable with talking to children and teaching children, and then also interacting with my peers at the school where I taught at McDonald Green, because we would have to do group presentations and we would have to stand up and do things that was trying to get us out of that comfort zone. And some teachers, you could tell that they hated it, they despised it. You've all been there. Their necks were blood red, their skin was splotchy. Sometimes you could even see their shirt jumping, or their heart was pounding so tremendously. And that's normal. Why do we get that way, though? Why are we like that? And so I think about our children who were here this morning. You know, we push them on stage. We push them out to step out of their comfort zone. But then that's all we do. We just push them out there, and we kind of let them fend for themselves or learn on their own. And we don't encourage them as we should. Now, I'm not saying that Miss Rhonda and Anna and whoever else helped our children didn't encourage them. But think about it from a parent's point of view, or a grandparent's point of view, or as a church congregation. You know, we tell them, oh, you did good, but what else do we do to teach them why we step out of our comfort zones? How do we encourage? Are we more of a discourager than an encourager? And sometimes we can maybe find ourselves being a discourager when we're trying to be an encourager. But you know, many of you here today probably participated just like the children, but you notice that there were a lot more children here than are actually in the choir. And why is that? Because I know there's many people sitting out here today that can sing beautifully. Maybe it's because you don't want to step out of your comfort zone and come to practice. Or maybe you just don't want to do it, period. Whatever the case may be. But what can we do differently to step out of our comfort zones day in and day out? If you notice, the scripture that I have here this morning is Joshua 1:9, one simple verse. One simple verse, and it's an important verse, a verse that we really should take with us everywhere we go. Of course, I know you probably hear me say that quite often, but truthfully, we're supposed to take every verse of God, the Word of God with us everywhere we go. But this one verse in particular is a verse that should really enhance your ability to be able to be courageous. And as I said, I know this is easier said than done, and I'll take, for example, I know Kenny won't mind me using him as an example, but Kenny does not like to get up here and talk. If you recall, before I came here, I think your deacons always read the announcements. And they would read through the announcements, and I could see the discomfort on their face. The very first time I was here, they were so rigid. Pray for this person. Pray for that person. And you could tell they were just so rigid and scared, and that's okay. That's common. If you're not used to doing it, it's hard to get used to. But we have to realize that we need to do this for God. That's what we're here for. And so I decided that was the one thing. You know, when I first started here as your interim, obviously I didn't want to come in here and make all these vast changes to make Sand Hill a better church. But I knew that was one thing that those deacons was not going to mind relinquishing, was to allow me to start doing the announcements for them. I believe that was a breath of fresh air for them, a sigh of relief when I said, hey, I'll do that part for y'all. You won't have to worry about it anymore. But if you notice on our fellowship in the mornings when we go to the assembly, our deacons are leading a devotion now. I mentioned it to them earlier in the summer. I told them to pray about it. So this is something I'd like for you to maybe do if you're willing. We met back the next month, and they probably were hoping I wasn't going to bring it back up. But I did, and then they started stepping up and leading. And I think that's important, because remember, the deacons are elected by you all, the church, to be the leaders of the church and to do things that are representative of Christ. And what did Christ do? He taught. He spoke. Now, we know that he had a great boldness because it came from God, a power from God. But I want you to think about that same power that gave Jesus the ability to raise himself from the grave is the very same power that allows me to stand right here today and to speak to you all and to read God's word. So that very same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the very same power that gives you the abilities to go on each and every day. So look at that verse, Joshua 1:9. It says, "Have I not commanded you?" It's a big question mark there. That you is every one of you sitting here today. That you is for whoever reads this verse. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." How important is that? But how often do you think about that? How often do you really conceive the thought that Jesus is with you everywhere you go at all times? Even when you lay your head down to sleep at night. That's what's so great about the power of God and that intercessor, Jesus Christ himself. What's so great about that is when you're laying down to sleep at night and you're resting, or at least you should be resting because you should have already given all of your burdens to the Lord. When you're resting and trying to sleep, that's when Jesus is really beginning to do a mighty work for you. That's when he's answering those prayers. That's when he's beginning to do a wonderful and miraculous thing for you in your life. And so that's why it's so important that when you lay down to sleep at night, that you don't have those burdens running through your mind, that your heart is not heavy, because you should have already given them to the Lord to begin with. He tells us right here. And you know, I look at that word, "do not be afraid," and we really can look at that word today and think about it's Christmas season, and you remember what the angel said. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy." So see, that's what's so good about God's word is that, you know, we look at the word "not," we think of negative, okay, but it's telling us what not to do, not be afraid. But then we have a reason as to why we shouldn't be afraid. And we have a reason right here in Joshua 1:9. It says, "Do not be afraid, don't be dismayed, because the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go." And that's what's so great about it. You're not going to find anybody else in this world. You're not going to find any man-made God in this world, anything in this world that can give you that promise. There may be many that can tell you that, but they will not fulfill it. God has already fulfilled this promise. So now I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you, in your daily life, what are some things that you do to step out of your comfort zone? Do you purposely step out of your comfort zone? Now, I'm not going to call out any names by any means because I would never dare do that. But on Wednesday nights, we have prayer meeting. And for some of you who have attended, you know how the format is. For some of you who have not attended, I encourage you to come out and be with us. But I will say this, that we pray. We have silent prayer. And then we pray for specific needs. And we pray out loud in front of one another. Well, that may deter some of you from coming. But let me let you know this, that if you come for the very first time, I will ask you quietly, privately, may I call on you to pray at some given point? And if you tell me yes, then I will. But if you tell me no, I respect that decision. But I want you to think about that for a moment. And understand this, I'm not ridiculing anybody who has said, I would like for you not to call on me to pray. I'm not ridiculing you by any stretch of the imagination. But I want you to understand and know this, that very same way that you pray at home, that way that you pray when you're driving to work, that way that you pray when you're sitting in your recliner drinking coffee, reading your devotion, is the very same way that you can pray here at this church. We're not here to listen to your words and to say, oh, they misspoke. They have poor grammar. They don't know how to pray. We're not here for that. Because really, when you open up your heart and you open up your mind and you begin to open your mouth to speak, who are you praying to? Are you praying for my benefit? Are you praying for the person's benefit beside you? No. We're praying to God. And that's all that matters. You know, I try to focus on when I pray in front of you all not to stutter or to stammer over a word, but sometimes it happens. I'm imperfect, but I'm praying to a perfect God. And that's what it's all about, is that we focus on praying to God, making sure that he receives the honor and the glory for all that we do. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid, because the Lord's with you everywhere you go, even at prayer meeting. Even during prayer time, wherever it may be, God is with you. And so, what can we do to step out of our comfort zone? One thing important is that we need to be an encourager. We need to encourage our young people here at this church to continue to sing. Because I guarantee you there's many of them that stood here this morning who have beautiful voices but are just scared. And of course, we know that's a common response to be scared because, you know, if you all recall who were members of this church in 1987, matter of fact, 30 years ago, I stood right here and I sang Little Drummer Boy as a 10-year-old. And of course, who would have ever thought that I would be here now and lead you as your pastor? God did. He knew. But we need to encourage people to do that. Did I think I had a wonderful voice as a 10-year-old? No, but my daddy asked me or my grandma would push me along to sing, and so I just sang. But we need to encourage our children. We need to encourage one another to step out of that comfort zone. And so now I want to ask you this question. When we step out of our comfort zones, let's say, for example, as soon as you've stepped out of that comfort zone for the very first time, you knew immediately that you did the right thing. Have you ever been in that situation where you just felt so comforted as soon as you did immediately what God was leading you to do? Or maybe as soon as you stepped out, you felt like a total failure. Now, when that happened, was it something you were trying to gain for self? Or were you doing it because God had directed you? I would say that when I have stepped out of my comfort zone, being a little too confident, for example, I can give you a wonderful example. And I was teaching at Fort Mill High School doing my practicum work 14 years ago now, and I had this wonderful lesson plan. I mean, it was jam up. I knew it was going to be the best lesson I'd ever taught doing my field work through Winthrop, and I fell flat on my face. I opened my mouth to begin to talk, and these kids were looking at me like I was speaking a foreign language. And in my mind, I was trying to internalize, surely these children understand, these kids understand what I'm trying to say. But then as I began to think about it and looked at my lesson plan, well, of course it didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense to me after I went back to read it. So sometimes we can fall flat on our face because we're too confident. And so no matter what we do, we have to remember that we have to do it pridefully, with humility. But if we don't put God first in our lives, no matter what decisions that we make, we're going to fail. Eventually, you're going to fail. It may not be immediately, but somewhere down the line, you're going to stumble because you are only thinking of self-gain and not for Christ-like gain. But now I got a question that I want to ask you. And if I really would love, and I'm fixing to step out of my comfort zone a little bit more, and I'm going to step down here. Now, as I told you, when I was teaching in McDonald Green, I'd have my kids all over the floor, spaced out. They all had hot spots, their little circles, red, yellow, orange, blue, purple, green. And when they would come into my classroom, I would say, so-and-so, I want you to sit on purple. So-and-so, I want you to sit on blue, yellow, and fill them up. And the kids would be spread out, and so I would be able to walk in and out of the kids. And, you know, now as an elementary kid, if I got too close to them, and they would thought, well, it was because they were doing something wrong. What's that called? Proximity to control. Isn't that what it's called, Dawn? Stephanie, Mark, proximity control. Now, Rhett wasn't doing anything wrong just now. But I learned how to do those types of things, and then I learned how to talk and move in and out of the children and keep their attention. But, you know, as adults, if you recall Preacher Joe Stein, who was here back in October, I watched some of your faces because I love to watch people's reactions. And when he'd get real close to you, some of you were looking at him, and when you realize, oh, he was coming to you, you were right there in that Bible. Or were you doing Sudoku? Is that what he said? I don't know. But that's what we do as adults. We get scared. We think, oh, he's going to call on me or he's going to call me out. And I would never dare do that. But that's what happens. We get so tight. We get so upset thinking he's going to ask me something or he's going to test my knowledge of the Bible in front of all of these people. And I wouldn't do that. But what scares you the most out of comfort zones? What's something that you feel that keeps you from doing what God really wants you to do? Anybody want to answer anything out loud? I had five that I come up with that affect me as an adult now. One being scared. Something. I understand. But did you, and I'm going to use what you just said as a wonderful example. She said she didn't want to mess up out here. But see, that's the thing. Taylor can attest to this as a singer. Taylor, do you want to mess up in front of your congregation? Of course you don't. But if we would remember that Debbie's not playing for the congregation, and Taylor, you're not singing for the congregation, that Debbie's playing for God because it's a talent that God gave her, that Taylor's singing for God because it's a talent that God gave her, then it's going to come together. Now, Debbie, I'm sure you've played before, and you've hit a wrong note playing in front of us, haven't you? Has anybody ever come to you and said, "I can't believe you did that"? I hope not. If they have, let's don't answer that. Let's don't answer that. But let's think about that, though. We mess up, don't we? We do. And I think that's what's so bad about it. As we've grown older, we're so afraid of messing up because we don't want people to pass judgment on us. We don't want people to think that we're not prepared or that we're not talented enough. But the thing is this, if you're doing it wholeheartedly for God, He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. And so the other ones that I come up with when it talks about being knowledgeable for Christ and stepping out of that comfort zone, that's the one thing that really comes to my mind is that you lack faith. And I mean faith in God, but I mean faith in general. Maybe Debbie lacks faith in her abilities to perform that hard song. But where does her faith truly come from? Where does her strength truly come from? Comes from the Lord. And so Debbie has learned, I'm sure, over the course of her time of playing, and Taylor too, even though she's much younger than us, that she's learned that God has given her this talent and that He will take care of you if you're using it for His glory. And that's what's important. Don't lack the faith. And then one that is a big issue, I think, for all of us, myself included now, is sometimes that we lack the knowledge that we need to talk about Christ. Surely we can give our testimony and say, well, Christ did this to me on this day and I felt that change. But why? Where did the change come from? How did the change begin? And where did the change technically come from? It came from right here, from this little baby boy that left his throne on high. Another one would be that you're embarrassed or you're ashamed. That's easy to see, don't you imagine? Have any of you ever been in that situation before? Let's take, for example, in high school, I remember having to do public speaking. Then I had to do it again when I went off to college. And I remember that was always a class that was just not very many kids. They didn't want to do that public speaking. But it was a prerequisite. You had to have it to continue to move on. It was a gen ed class. I mean, it was basic education class that you had to get out of the way. Now, you had to do it. You may have been trembling and you may have got that A, but wasn't it such a relief when that class came to an end? Oh my, you know it was. But there's embarrassment there because once again, we remember we were too worried about ourselves and what other people think of us. And then the other one is sent with this, which we've already discussed, was that you're worried that you will fail. I've shared this with you before. I've never worried about failing singing in a wedding. I haven't, matter of fact, it's kind of funny that I say that. I haven't sang in another wedding since this mistake that I made, but I was overly confident in a wedding. And it's a song that I'd sang numerous times before, and I knew, I said, I was going to do great on this song, and I was going to nail it. Well, I nailed it all right. And it was as soon as that wedding was over, I didn't stay for the reception because I was so embarrassed. I was ready to get out of there because I said, I cannot believe that I messed up. But you know why I messed up? Because I wasn't thinking about God. I wasn't saying, God, I need you to get me through this song. I said, God, well, I didn't even say this to God. I was basically saying, Michael, I'm going to do this on my own. Well, I tried and it didn't work. So just another example that God can see you through it. Self will not see you through it. Maybe a few times, but not always. Now, I want to talk about God and how He gives us the strength to step out on our comforts or out of our comfort zones. And what He does is He wants you to do this because there's an invitation from God that He wants you to accept. And that first one is that He wants you to be able to accept the process of stepping out. That's important. And when I say the process, I mean being able to physically see and understand where He's wanting to get you from point A to point B and how you're going to get there of stepping out of that comfort zone. The second is that you then begin to see the miracles that God performs within your life, or that God performs within other people's lives. So you get to see the process, you get to see the miracle of it all, then you get to see the answered prayer. And then, unfortunately, we know that there is also painful seasons that come from stepping out of our comfort zone. You may have to step out of your comfort zone to stand up boldly for Christ in front of a group of people that you know are going to probably persecute you and ridicule you. And so there may be a painful season within your life, because of that belief. Are you prepared for that? Are you ready for that painful season? And so I hope that you are, but not on your own merit, not of anything good that you have done. Be ready for that painful season through the power of God, through the power of the cross. And every one of us sitting here today, we have our own faith walk. We have our own unique, faithful journey. Now, fortunately or thankfully enough, it brings us here every Sunday together, our faith walk. But when we leave from here is what's important. Where does your faith walk take you Monday through Saturday? When you're at work, or when you're at school, or when you have leisure time. There's a group of pastors that get together every once a month on Thursdays here at Second Baptist of Kershaw. And this one pastor was reading a portion of Scripture, and it was talking about becoming entangled in life. And so his question was to us pastors, and I'll throw this question for you all today. Is it wrong for Christians to have a hobby? Does anybody here have a hobby? Sure. I imagine a lot of you do. Does that hobby keep you rather from worshiping God? Now, if it does, if it hinders your relationship with God, then I think that's an entanglement. I think that's something wrong. But God wants us to have hobbies. He wants us to be able to enjoy the things of life. But when we start to enjoy those things of life, and we then are not enjoying God, then we have made a mistake. We've messed up somewhere. And so God wants us to be able to understand and know and enjoy all aspects of life. And so that journey that you're on right now is a very important journey. It may change tomorrow. It may change a year from now. It may not ever change. You may still continue down this very path that you're on right now until God calls you home. But if you're doing it to bring Him honor and glory, then that's all that we should focus on. That's all that should matter. I want to give you three action statements revolving around God and what He wants for you. The first action statement is this: be bold and take on new instructions from the Lord. That word is very important. Be bold. And then, and take on, meaning you need to receive it. Take on new instructions from the Lord. The second is be bold and take time to read His word and listen to His voice. And then third, be bold and take time to minister and to bless others. I would say this, it's a misconception or a fallacy, you may say, that people think that only preachers, pastors, ministers, and those elected leaders or those who volunteer to teach within the church are the only ones who are allowed to minister. But that is so very incorrect. Every single one of you, if you're a child of the one true King, it is your responsibility to teach others about Christ. It is your responsibility to have a desire to bless others. We can look in our vestibule this morning. You see all those wrapped gifts that's going to go to some children who are in need. That is a wonderful testimony of who you are at Sandhill Baptist Church, that you see the importance of giving this gift. And we're not giving that gift because, oh, it's Christmas time, you got to give the gift. We're giving that gift, and I hope that when you wrap that gift, that it was a gift that you prayed over. It was a gift that you wrapped with love, wrapped with joy. It's hoping that it would bring peace and love and joy to whatever individual receives it, whatever child receives it. But those are examples of trying to bless others. Do you want your name to be called out because you gave so-and-so a gift? No, that's not what we want. We really want to do that in secret. We don't need anybody to praise us or give us accolades because we're participating in the angel tree. God knows what you've done, and that's all that matters. Great will your reward be when He has called you home. That's what our focus should always be about. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light." Now, how many of you have really thought about your life as being in total darkness? Now, if you are a child of God, you are now in that marvelous light. But before you accepted His saving grace, you were living in darkness. No matter if you were sitting in the room with the brightest light in that room, you were still living in darkness. But that marvelous light that came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, that is what we have, that marvelous light. God uses the broken, the unqualified, and He equips them. Now, I'll say this, God doesn't typically use those who are perfect, those who are equipped. And why is that? Because there is no one who is perfect. There is no one who is good. There is no one who is righteous. No, not one. Are any of you sitting here perfect? No. That means God can use you. And then He'll make you perfect. He will make you complete. There's no one sitting here today who is righteous. Not by their own works. You've been made righteous by God. And that is when He can use you, when you recognize this. I'll give you some examples of several men in the Bible that were very imperfect, who were very broken, and the first one being Joseph. Joseph, who was betrayed by his brothers, He was then thrown into a pit. He was then sold into slavery. And then Joseph became to be a second in command to Pharaoh. Matter of fact, if you want to turn to Genesis 41, Genesis 41, 37 through 41, I want to read those verses with you. It's how Joseph came into power. Genesis 41, 37 through 41. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Now listen, this is Pharaoh speaking. The Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Is as much as God has shown you all of this? There is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." And this is Joseph, the one whose brothers hated him, the ones who were, well, their goal was to just kill him, to get rid of him, and they threw him in a pit instead, and then they decided, we're going to sell him into slavery, and look what happened to Joseph. Now, maybe you all have not experienced this type of lifestyle, and I hope that none of you have, but God used Joseph. Another prime example is David. My dad sang this song at my ordination, I believe, at Oakhurst. The shepherd boy. When others see a shepherd boy, God sees a king. That's what David was. David was a shepherd boy. Not figuratively. He was literally a shepherd boy, and he became a king. He became a ruler of nations because God found favor in him. And not only did he become a ruler of nations, plural, he's from the lineage of who? Or actually, who is it? The lineage of David? Jesus Christ himself. But then look at the life David lived. Many bad mistakes David made in his life. But God chose David for a reason. God allowed David to repent of his mistakes, and God continued to use David. Many mistakes you make, day in and day out, maybe not as severe in the eyes of man as what David did, but still, a sin is a sin. But God still uses you. 1 Samuel 16, 7 reads, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" That's so very important. And now, on the same side of that, though, we know that the Lord looks at our heart, but then he also knows exactly what's there. You know, I can hide many things in my heart from you all. I cannot hide anything in my heart from God. Maybe there's some things in your heart this morning that are keeping you from stepping out of your comfort zone. Maybe there's some things going on in your life right now that's hindering you from stepping out in your comfort zone because you're not in the will of God as you need to be. And I know there's, I guarantee there's at least one person here today who's experiencing this right now. That you're not exactly where God needs you to be, and you don't have that boldness, you don't have that courage to step out of that comfort zone because you are not in the will of God. If you want to be in the will of God, that's the first thing you got to do is ask God to lead, guide, and direct you, to give you the power so that you can step out of that comfort zone and enter into his courtships of praise. I'll give you one other example of Peter. Peter, you know, he, the rock. But what did Peter do when he said he wouldn't do it? What did he do? He denied Jesus, not one time, not two times, but three times. You know, me being the PE teacher, I'll use this reference. That's how I, that was my rule in my PE class. I live by the baseball rule, three strikes and you're out. You get a warning, you get a second warning, and then that's it. You're in timeout. Actually, I'll rephrase that. It's a warning, then it's a 5-minute timeout, and then the third strike, you're out for the rest of class. That was how my, that was my baseball philosophy in my PE class. My rules were simple. But look at Peter. He struck out three times with God, but what did God show him? What did Jesus Christ show him? Mercy. So very important that we show mercy. Mercy and grace are very hard to show, though. And why? Our nature is sinful. We have to allow God to have total control of our hearts to extend mercy and grace. And Amanda and I had this conversation Friday night. As raising children, when you're wanting to teach them right from wrong, when you're wanting to discipline them, but you don't want to just chastise them and be scornful upon them, how do you show them grace and mercy and still teach them right from wrong? That is very hard to do. Because, you know, when you've told them to do something 5 and 6 times already and they haven't done it yet, that grace and that mercy is about to go out the window. How do you do it? Some of you young at heart who sit here today, y'all give us some tips. Write a book or something. Teach us younger parents what to do. We are not allowed that grace and that mercy to run out, because you think about it, Jesus' grace and mercy overflows for us every single day. We are a chosen group of people. God has chosen you. Have you chosen Him? Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose." And the reason behind that verse is this. We think about the evil that is in the world, and sometimes that evil is what keeps us from stepping out of our comfort zone. We got to push through that evil. And we got to remember that God is going to use this evil for something good. God has many desires for you. He wants to use you. He wants your dreams to come true so that He will be glorified. He wants to see you walk on the waters of the raging sea with Him. And the reason why I use that as an example is because, remember, Peter denied Him 3 times. But then when Peter finally realized that, oh, he needed a Savior, what was Peter doing? He was walking out on the water. Peter stepped out of that comfort zone. Peter stepped out of that comfortable boat that he was on. And he willingly walked towards Jesus. So what I want you to do today, when you leave from here today, I want you to think about that through the course of this week. I want you to step out of your comfortable boat, that comfortable lifestyle that you have, and I want you to walk on the water, walk on the raging sea, and keep your eyes on Jesus. Because if you take your eyes off of Him, what's going to happen? You're going to sink. Keep your eyes on the prize, and that is the eyes of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you we'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." So the day that you ask God to come and live within your heart, the Son of God to come and live within you, that Holy Spirit to dwell within you, He has a good work for you. And He's going to use you as long as you're willing until the coming of His Son, or till He calls you home otherwise. What a glorious fulfillment of God's Word. This is the truth. This is a promise that has been made for you and for me. He has called you. He has chosen you to be a child of His, and He wants to use you. I pray that these verses that we've talked about and this message today of stepping out of the water and stepping out of that comfort zone per se will enlighten you, but you've got to be willing. You know, you can't just hear me say it and then be done with it. I want you to hear my words, God's words, through the course of this week and think about it. Pray about it. You got to step up. You got to step out in order to trust, even when you cannot see. And there's going to be times in your life when you're not going to see. There's going to be times in your life when you have no clue what's going to happen next. That's okay. God knows, and that's all that matters. It may be a good outcome, it may be a bad outcome, but that should never stop you from stepping out of your comfort zone. Because I want you to think about this comfort zone. Think about the comfort zone of heaven versus the very discomfortable zone of hell. Which one do you want to be in? Do you want to just stay comfortable while you're here on earth? Live a comfortable life while you're here on earth? Sure, it'll be nice for a while. But oh, how discomforting it will be when you're not comforted by the Comforter Himself. When He looks at you and tells you to depart from Me, for I never knew you. Do you know Him today? God is beyond faithful. If you ask Him, He will help you. I'll give you one more example of an individual who did not have faith, and that was Moses. Moses had a speech impediment. Moses was petrified to stand up and talk. And, you know, we can understand if one had a speech impediment. We could see why one would be a little uneasy to talk. But that's okay. God gave Moses a helper. But more importantly, God just told Moses that, look, if you believe in Me, if you have total faith and trust in Me, I'm going to take you and you're going to lead those people out of bondage. You're going to go to the Pharaoh and you're going to tell him that the great I Am sent you, and there's really nothing you can do about it, Pharaoh, because God's going to have His way. And He did. It wasn't immediate, But God was testing the faith of Moses, the leader, and those Israelites who were being led out of bondage. Every one of us sitting here today can be a Joseph, a David, a Peter, a Moses. All of us can tell stories of stepping out of that comfort zone. And it will pay you great dividends when you realize this. Are you allowing God to use you? Are you willing to take risks regardless of your flaws? Are you willing to let the Lord Jesus use you in any manner that He sees fit? Not what you desire, not what you want to do. Before I came to Sand Hill, as a matter of fact, a year before I came to Sand Hill, I knew that God was calling me into the ministry, but there was a job opening that I wanted to do. It was going to be the best of both worlds. It was going to be a job that had Jesus in it, and it was going to have a job that had my physical education background in it, and that's what I wanted. I said, I'll be able to talk about Jesus and play at the same time. And I had my heart set on this job, and things looked like it may was going to come to fruition. But through the course of the summer of 2014, through the course of the summer of 2014, God began to change the things in my life. It wasn't what God wanted. He didn't want me to have that job. I was hurt. Because, number one, I knew the people, it was brought, these people threw it in my lap. I wasn't seeking this job. They gave it to me to pursue. And then it fell through, and I'm thinking, well, God, what do you want from me? I proved to you that I was willing to be faithful and step out of my comfort zone, because I knew then I was going to have to give up my teaching career. And I loved teaching. There were many kids that I've told you before, they gave me heartburn, they gave me headaches, they made me not like my job some days, but most 95% of the time, I loved what I did at McDonald Green. I love my workers, I love all faculty and staff, and I love those children. But that wasn't what God wanted me to do. Not at that time. I guess what we'll say is He had a better group of people He wanted me to be with. That's what it is. Because God knows. God knows. And so if we're just willing to step out of that comfort zone, and you may have to step out of it more than once, He'll use you. He wants to use you. But remember, He needs the honor. He needs the glory. Because that's why He created us. To give Him praise. To give Him honor. And to give Him glory. I want to give you this one verse here and read one more. I know we passed that 12 o'clock time frame. But remember, I didn't get started at 11:30 today either. Mark told me he was going to cut this off at 12, and he hasn't. Thank you, Mark. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." That's important. Or think. Because you think about a lot of things that come to your mind, but you just don't ask about it. But God is willing to do all the things that we ask or we think according to the power that works in us. That power that works in us is the power of the one true King. I believe in all of you who sit here today, but more importantly, God believes in you, and God can use you. He wants to use you. He has a great desire to use you so that He can continually be glorified. I want to share some more scripture, though. 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 11 reads, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient.'" This is Jesus Christ speaking. "My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." Then it says, "Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." How important is that? At your weakest moment, you were made strong because of God. God wants us to be able to seek delight in weakness, in insults, and in the hardships, and in the persecutions. Because if you're experiencing those things in the name of God, you're going to reap the benefit, because this is the favor that God has found in you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God knows what He's doing. How many of you have fears today that keep you from stepping out of that comfort zone? We can all raise our hands. We can all raise our hands. We all experience those fears. But if you stay in your comfort zone, you will never leave, nor will you exceed the present reality in which you're living in right now. Think about that. If you don't step out of your comfort zone, you will never leave the present reality that you're living right now. You must not ever forget that God has commanded you. He has told you to be strong. He has told you to be courageous, not to be afraid or be dismayed. And all those words that I just read describes all of us at some point in our lives. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Will you step out of your boat and walk on that water? Will you step out from behind your comfort zone? As, trust me, this was very difficult for me this morning. I needed God to give me the strength to do it. I pretended, though, that you all were sitting on your little hot spots like in elementary school. That helped me get through it. In my mind, I was envisioning me still being at McDonald Green and telling the kids what to do and to listen. Y'all are not kids. Please know that's not what I'm saying. But we have to step out of our comfort zones. We've got to be willing to relinquish our power that we think we have and allow God to have that power. That's what you've got to do. I'll give you one more verse. This is an important verse, and I would like you maybe write this one down and go back and reread it this week sometime or even this afternoon. It's Isaiah 43:1. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. What keeps you from stepping out of your comfort zone? Lack of faith? Lack of desire to serve God? To want to know Him more? God does not like laziness. But you know what He doesn't like more than laziness? It's a Christian who gives excuses as to why they're not willing to step out of that boat. He tolerates the laziness, but He cannot tolerate the excuse. And I think about how many times we come up with excuse after excuse after excuse for not doing what God has commanded us to do. I encourage you today, tomorrow, and the next day, step out of your comfort zone. For the more that you do it, the greater will your reward be, and the easier God will allow for it to be for you. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You for this day. God, we thank You for all that You do in our lives each and every day. And Father, I do know how very difficult it is to step out of that comfort zone. But Father, I pray that power that we have read about, the power that you have instilled within our hearts will be that very power that pushes us forward each and every day, that we will step out. We'll step out into the water and we'll wade a little bit deeper each and every day, knowing that it is through You, God, that we're able to do this, not through our own strengths, God, not through our own will and our own minds, God, but from You and You alone. And for this, we thank You. Father, as we leave here today, I pray that each one who is here can say that it was good to be in Your house this morning, God. And I pray that as we enter into this season of Thanksgiving, this season of Christmas time, God, that we recognize that Christmas is nothing without You. It is just another day on the calendar if we don't know who You are. It's not about the tree. It's not about those gifts. It's all about the cross. Everything comes back to the cross. Father, we love You. Oh God, we do praise You. And I do thank You for all who are here today, Lord. May we have said today that it was wonderful to be with You and Your people. God, just forgive us where we fail You each and every day of our lives. In Your name I do pray. Amen.